You can listen to The Professional Left wherever you get your podcasts, on Netroots Radio, or at our website, proleftpod.com, where you can also contribute to this podcast. There's a PayPal button at our website, or you can mail us a letter and or contribution at P.O. Box 9133, Springfield, Illinois, 62791.
This is the podcast for December 31st, 2021. It's Not Safe for Work.
Recorded live from the Cornfield Resistance, where our goal this week is to think about all the water we've already carried and all the wood we've already chopped. It's The Professional Left with Driftglass and Blue Gal. Happy New Year's, everyone.
Happy New Year. Gearing up to chop wood, carry water for another midterm election year.
Yeah, well, we built up all these muscles carrying so much goddamn water and chopping so much goddamn wood. But I think we're just almost indestructible, you know?
No.
No.
I think we got a lot of work ahead of us, but
yeah.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, when this week Sarah Palin comes out and says she's like to run for something.
Oh, please.
She told Eric Bolling. I mean, of the two people in the world that you want to have talk about this, Eric Bolling and Sarah Palin. You know, the primaries are going to be lit. The Republican primaries are going to be lit.
I just want to see Steve Schmidt's phone when she calls him up and says, "Hey, Steve, guess what I want to do? New phone. Who this? Yeah, no, what? No. Hey, Bill Kristol. Remember when we? No, I don't know. So sorry, nobody here. Maybe you want to talk to my son."
I put in my post about this, I said she wants to run for another office she can quit.
Yeah.
So she can translate that into a TV reality show. You know,
well, Bill Kristol has her number automatically forwarded to his son-in-law's phone, Matthew Continetti.
Oh, yeah, he'll take it.
Who wrote the, you know, the glowing biography of like Rebel Without a Clue, the Sarah Palin and how unjust she was treated. That's how he got, you know, to national attention. Mm-hmm. Is that and the fact that he married Bill Kristol's daughter.
There you go.
It'll
get you a job in right wing. Team Evil pays. I'm telling you, it just does.
Except
in certain circumstances, which we're going to talk about.
Well, and I do want to be one of these holidays, be at the Thanksgiving table where Matthew Continetti asked Bill Kristol to pass the cranberry sauce.
and he throws it at him.
Fuck you. No, you're the traitor. Fuck you. I never loved you. And his daughter runs crying from the room. And I want the whole, you know, that scene that Norman Rockwell, plenty scene.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I want that with throwing of knives and splashing of drinks and, you know, just barbed wire across the table as the two halves of the Kristol family, who are both terrible, just slug it out for supremacy. That's what I want. So next year. Next
adorable.
Year.
Hey, yes. We got a letter. We got a letter today in our email. And you said, we're going to read this on the air. Right away.
Before we do that, I want to remind everyone, because I know you follow our every tick and move with, you know, exquisite precision. Mm-hmm. Next week is our 12th anniversary podcast.
12 years we've been podcasting.
Not our second anniversary.
No.
Not our 12. Sixth anniversary. Not our 10th anniversary.
2010.
That's right.
2010, January of 2010. We're going to be recording a show on January 6th.
That's right.
Hopefully it will be a calmer January 6th than last year.
We hope so. We sure hope so.
Yeah, I think there are some commemorations on the left of how bad it was.
Yeah.
But at what you said on Twitter about, you know, there's a market there on the right for J6. Fuck yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just double down on the violence and going to jail and whatever else. Yeah.
Well, doubling down is what they do, right? I mean, this is really, really old news. I'm no longer surprised by the fact that, of course, I think you and I talked about this yesterday as writers. Mm-hmm. When you're writing a story, when you're writing a novel, and you come into something called character possession, which is where a character in your story is so vivid and real to you that you just know where they're going to go and what they're going to do. Mm-hmm. Once you've come to understand the Republican brain well enough to understand it as a form of character in a narrative, nothing about them surprises you anymore because you understand them completely, you know, top to bottom, side to side. You know what they're thinking, why they're going to do it. So, yeah, of course they're going to double down on it. Of course they are. And, of course, all of the people, all the – centrists and all the Never Trumpers are going to expect shock. Can you believe that these people want to raise flags in commemoration of January 6th? Oh my God, what happened to civility in this country? And by the way, critical race theory, because, you know.
Because why not?
None of this surprises us anymore, because they're all running the same scripts they've always run.
Which, backing up a little bit, Sarah Palin in her interview said, "I'm not so obsessively partisan that I let that get in the way of doing what's right for the people."
For America. As a mother and a patriot, you know?
No, that's Liz Cheney.
Yeah, well Palin Cheney, 2024.
Yeah, Palin Cheney, 2024. You know?
By the way, every Never Trump podcast is now the Liz Cheney Show.
Oh, wonderful. Because
they're down to one Republican they can point to without throwing up. So every fucking one of these podcasts is now the Liz Cheney Show. She's a hero. She's a hero. Why can't you liberals recognize she's a hero? Yes, you're right. She's a hero. And the 50 Democrats are 10 times more heroic than she will ever be. Mm-hmm. And the people who've been saying this for decades, as opposed to minutes, are 10 times more heroic than she will ever be. But you can't stand those people, so you can't stand talking about them, except for one of them named Joe Manchin, who you think is the greatest Democrat who ever lived.
Yeah, and why? Well, we'll get into that, too.
Yeah.
So let's read this letter from listener Peter, who, when we got this email today, we decided, oh, we gotta really open the show with this. Peter writes, "I occasionally listen to the Talking Feds, F-E-D-S, podcast, hosted by Larry Littman." And Larry Littman, we know him from MSNBC. He's an attorney, usually explaining the law to people. And he's usually talking about legal matters and so forth. But sometimes he invites political types. And this week, he really worked to confirm Driftglass's opinion about the middle ground.
Yeah.
Larry Littman had on Bill Kristol, Michael Steele, and Christine Todd Whitman.
Yeah.
It was painful to listen, but they remarkably maintained the no history before 2015. Can't wait to see who he has to do Dems in 2022 besides David Frum. Yeah. You can predict, as you say. Yes. As you say, Driftglass, you can predict what's going to happen next.
And David Frum will have a 3-day growth of beard. I know this for a fact, because he always has a 3-day.
Corey, quaffed, right?
From the 90s or 80s and 90s, he has what they were selling back then called the Miami Device, which was a shaving tool that would give you an eighth of an inch of stubble every day. So, yeah, that's David Frum's look.
So listener Peter concludes by saying, "I'd rather be a 1%er contributing to pro-left podcast than a 3%er trying to destroy our country." Thank you, Peter.
Appreciate
your going behind the lines of centrism and taking a peek at that for us.
Now I have to go over and listen to that because I'm a connoisseur at this point.
Well,
you know,
and let's face it, too, it's usually a source material for a post that you will write. Yeah,
it is. And, you know, 16 years ago, going on 17 years ago, when I started blogging, a lot of the uncovered territory was talking about like people like David Brooks and Andrew Sullivan and Tom Friedman. And I just sort of decided that would be one of my areas of expertise. And I became America's greatest David Brooksologist. Now, there's other ones out there who are very good and who I tip my hat to. But it was a beat that nobody could figure out. Why the fuck is this guy? Oh, I get it. Oh, my God. You know, it's like, trust me when I tell you this. There's some funky shit going on here that will tell you all you need to know by proxy about everything going on inside the minds of the elite on the right. The people who never leave the Acela corridor, but have lots of opinions about the rest of the country, which they've never, ever looked. And have no idea what's going on inside their own party. So trust me when I tell you that connoisseurship of a certain kind of centristy, Never Trumpy podcast writing will pay big dividends in the end. It seems... But already it's like, who got there first when it came to the Lincoln Project? Like three or four of us. Like, oh, shit, they really are a bunch of skeezy grifters who still are out there. They're still cranking. Oh, yeah. They're still raising money, et cetera, et cetera. But it catching these things early and seeing where they're going is sort of part of the job of the what I consider the liberal blogger. Mm-hmm. I know there's a few only a few of us out there left, but everyone's covering everything else. And we're the ones who are sort of looking over the horizon going, what's coming next? What are these people up to? Where is this weird trend that everyone seems to be on board with heading? Mm-hmm, and, you know, we're right more often than we're wrong, which makes us, you know,
I love that time period of time where Charlie Pierce decided to hop on the David Brooks train.
Yes.
And his comment thread was immediately filled with comments about, you know, pretending to be drift glass is no way to go through life, son.
Yeah. He's like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
No
and he's
offense.
Really nice about it. He's like, oh, you know, I'm just walking on the path you trod, you know, that kind of thing. He was really nice about it.
He's very sweet. And this is all one writer can ever ask, no matter how obscure they are, is that if you're going to suddenly discover something that they've been writing about for a decade and you find out that somebody's gotten there first, it's
and
fine.
Did a good job.
It's
I
fine.
Mean,
and did a good job. It's yeah, fine right. to there's plenty of room. But pretend
it's
this
room in the garden for everybody, yeah. but don't pretend it's your garden.
No.
Right.
And that's
right.
my entire brief against our new allies is pretending right. that we don't exist.
Right.
Or that the
right.
liberals that the years they spent listening to Rush Limbaugh and listening to his imitators and listening to the Weekly Standard and listening to the National Review, all the shitty caricatures and awful cartoons and the libtards and the feminazi bullshit that even the most elite Republicans totally swallowed as whole. Mm-hmm. That's they still believe we're that. They still believe in the caricatures they soaked up, even though they've rejected much of that propaganda. They're still scarred by it, and they still can't get past the fact that agreeing with liberals, acknowledging liberals are right before they were, is too icky for them to contemplate. They just can't do it. So they invent these weird Baroque excuses for why liberals are still wrong, why both sides are still bad, why we can't have liberals on our podcast to talk about shit we don't want to talk about. And going back to the letter today, why history began in 2015.
Right.
Because none of their bullshit.
And then the title of the Lincoln Project podcast.
Oh, yes.
This week.
Yeah.
Was.
They're sick of being right. They're sick of being right.
We're sick of being right.
Yes. Wow, you've been at this for 2 fucking years and you're sick of being right. You know, we tell people we have been shouting into the abyss for I don't know how long. And people just don't listen to us. And we tell them, like, fuck you. You know what? Maybe it would really help you out in this regard. Actually
liberal
talking
bloggers.
To liberals. But you can't stand us. I can't imagine Rick Wilson saying, you know, Drift Glass, could you give me some insight into whatever the fuck is going
it's
on
being
here?
Right for 15 years means and nobody can't, wants to listen to you.
Can't stand it. They can't stand us. They have trained themselves. This is the baggage they carried over from the right. They cannot stand actual liberals. If you listen to, I'm not kidding, you listen to any of these Never Trump podcasts, they're horrified at Democrats trying to govern as Democrats.
Yeah.
Their hero is Joe fucking Manchin.
Yeah.
And they can't give that up. And that will, in the end, they will stab us in the back. And they're pretty clear about that. They're like, you know, I'm still a conservative. I'm still a Republican. I haven't given up my shitty beliefs. It's just this temporary period when you want me to give you our 80 million voters to add to your 1,200 listeners.
Right.
And that's your alliance now, right?
Right.
How about you join our alliance?
And you will get paid to be the consultant to advertise to those people.
Right.
All 81 million Democrats will listen to you, Rick Wilson. Yes,
well,
right.
And there's a – at this very day, I wasn't going to do this, but I was listening to the Mona Charon podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this one amazing sentence. She and Bill Galston, who's the, you know, no labels asshole on that podcast. And they've just gotten done beating up Democrats for being Democrats and praising Joe Manchin. And Mona Charon says, I'm just amazed that Democrats aren't just, you know, getting down on their knees every day and thanking God that they have a Democratic senator in West Virginia. What's wrong with that analysis? And Bill Galston swings in with, most of them don't thank God for anything. And they all cracked up because, you know, we're a bunch of godless heathens who don't appreciate the fact these assholes came to our party. And you know what? I wrote today, just today, I'm amazed that Mona Charon and the rest of these dyspeptic, dispossessed conservative autocrats aren't getting down on their knees every day and thanking their God that the Democratic Party they have worked their whole lives maligning and obstructing still has enough firepower to stand up to the Republican monster they spent their whole lives creating.
Mm-hmm.
How about you get down on your
by
fucking,
the skin of our fingernails?
How about you
We're
get down on your fucking
on
knees
to democracy.
And
yes.
Thank God for the Democratic Party. How about you get out there and knock some fucking doors instead of sitting on your asses bitching that we're not doing what you want us to do? How about you thank God we exist and you get off your asses and go do something to get some Democrats elected?
Well, who impeached Trump twice?
Yeah.
Not your party, Mona Charon.
No. But they're sick of being right, Blue Gal.
Sick of being right.
Just sick of being right.
All right.
Moving on. This is a complete digression. Our notes are now in shreds. It means
nothing.
No, they're
not.
No, they're not.
We have all silver bullets and no gun, as Ted Grain said on Twitter this week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the messaging. This is what you wanted to talk about, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I just want to remind people, every time you hear people waving their hands and going, why won't Democrats message better? Why would they suck at messaging? Democrats need to message better. They've got great stuff. Why don't they talk about it more? Plenty of Democrats talk, and then we talk good shit. But as Ted Grain said, we have all the silver bullets, and we have no guns.
Mm-hmm.
We have no means of delivering it. There is no liberal Fox News. There is no liberal regnary press. There is no liberal AM radio, coast to coast, delivering propaganda 24 hours a day. So we can have the best message in the world, but it's stranded at the dock because there's nothing to carry it out to the people.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to remind our dear friends out there that in 2010, our craven political press responded to unified Republican obstruction and nonstop lying with what? Republicans are bad. Republicans are stopped. No. It was, why won't Obama lead? Why is Obama letting the Republicans do this? Why doesn't he unify the country? Because it's always the liberals' fault.
Mm-hmm.
A decade later, the Republican Party's only gotten worse, only gotten more craven, more obnoxious, more obstructive. But what does the same political press do? Why won't Democrats message better?
Mm-hmm.
It's always the Democrats' fault. It's always, there's no one on the right is ever responsible for anything. They're a force of nature. Might as well not even talk about them. It's up to the Democrats to somehow figure out a way to get the message out to the people. Okay, how would you suggest we do that? Would mm-hmm. you suggest perhaps the mainstream press that keeps sucking Joe Manchin's dick maybe start talking about all the good things Democrats? No, that's not our job. Our job isn't to carry Democrats' message. Okay, so the mainstream press is not going to carry Democrat message. Fox News is not going to carry it. Hate radio is not going to carry it. Who's going to carry it exactly? And to where? What people do you know that watch Freedom TV who are listening mm-hmm. to Stephanie Miller? I mean, mm-hmm. liberals do, but that carries the message to the same people who already believe it.
Right.
What machinery? And you know what? There is a mechanism for carrying Democratic messaging to people who don't listen to us. It's called the Never Trump podcast. If they spent half as much time celebrating the Democratic Party and carrying Democratic message as they do bitching, the mm-hmm. Democrats smell bad and the food here isn't nice and it used to be great and we used to be awesome, then we might make some headway. But they're not going to do that.
I think we Democrats are doing a tremendous job with messaging in terms of getting our people to Instagram, to the Jimmy Kimmel show, to the Colbert show, to places where average people that are not political junkies like we are. And that is our blind spot, is you and I are up to our necks in it every single day. We watch all the shows. You listen to all the podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting clips from Fox emailed to me by colleagues. You need to write this up, or here's so-and-so said this. And we just know, we know what Tucker Carlson says every night.
Right.
We know what Laura Ingraham said last night.
Mm-hmm.
And we have videos of it and we're clipping it and it's just up to our eyeballs in this stuff. But mm-hmm. most Americans, and this is the part that we forget, do not care about politics. I mean, they just don't. And they don't remember. I mean, we're going through now at Crooks and Liars. This is Political Junkies. These are my colleagues at Crooks and Liars.
Mm-hmm.
We're going through our archives just for this year and we're writing up Crooky Awards, and we ran them last weekend and we're going to run them this weekend, the best and worst of 2021 from our archives. And the stuff from January that all of us have just forgotten in the fire hose of news that comes at us every day, and realizing, oh wait, there was a female Republican congresswoman at the January 6th rally who literally gave a Nazi speech. Mary Miller. I forgot all about her.
Mm-hmm.
There's, you know, Mark Levin, before January 6th, comes out on his show and starts talking about, you know, the media doesn't choose the president.
Right. Right.
And really, Congress needs to get their act together because this election was stolen. And he never once mentions the voters. Not one time. He goes on for 8 minutes talking about the media doesn't choose the president. And just because the media announced who won on election night doesn't mean it's true. Never once mentioning the voters.
Mm-hmm.
We're counting votes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what elections are. And fast forward to this week, where Rand Paul explains why it's so terrible that Democrats are doing this underhanded thing and does this long description on Twitter. And what he describes is collecting votes and counting them.
Right.
How dare Democrats try to get people to vote?
Right. Right. Right.
So, you know, as I put on my post, Rand Paul, elections, how do they work?
Well, and I'm speaking now from memory. I can't pin it down exactly like you can, but in the space of 1 year,
mm-hmm.
The Never Trump folks who have a very large bullhorn mm-hmm. have gone from, why the hell are Democrats calling what's going on with Republican elections and stuff like that Jim Crow 2.0? It is not Jim Crow 2.0. I mean, yeah, it's bad. It's kind of bad, but it's not Jim Crow 2.0. Well, you know, it's these Democrats, these liberals who exaggerate everything. Jump forward 10 months. You know, the problem with liberals is they don't take the threat from the right seriously. It's really, really, really bad. If Democrats were serious, they'd do some stuff about it, like blah, 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 blah. All of yeah. which I agree with. But it's like, goddamn. You know, yeah. it's you aren't even listening to your own propaganda. It's just whatever it is, it's Driftglass's fault. And it's Blue yes, Gal's right, fault. Right. Either Driftglass and Blue Gal are exaggerating the threat from the right, calling it Jim Crow 2.0, or we're not taking it seriously because yeah. we're not out in the street. I don't have a vote in Congress. I can't get Joe Manchin to do anything. You can surround him by protesters. You can you know, tie up his yacht. You can call him an asshole. You can do whatever you want. He's not going to budge. He's not going to change a thing. So this idea.
I think
idea,
we have a little bit of that magical thinking going on the left too.
Yeah.
Of if only we had a different president than we have, everything would work out.
Sure.
I've seen tweets yeah. like that. And I'll mention this one because I commented on it. There was a woman on Twitter saying, you know, Elizabeth Warren wouldn't put up with this Manchin and Sinema BS.
Yeah.
And uh-huh. the replies that this person on Twitter got were all from Warren voters.
Right.
Saying, do you remember the snake emojis?
Right.
Do you remember Pocahontas?
Oh,
do you
that's
remember?
Right.
It's like,
that's right.
Not only that, but if you think that Elizabeth Warren had a magic wand that she could wave and make Manchin and Sinema vote exactly the way she wants them to.
Mm-hmm.
But what gets me the most irked about those kind of comments is they totally erase what Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders are accomplishing.
Are already doing, which is a considerable amount.
They put their nose down and got to work.
Right.
And they got, you know, basically control over the Joe Biden economic agenda.
Right.
And if you think that's nothing and that it would be better if we had so-and-so as president waving a magic wand to make Joe Manchin vote exactly the way we want him to,
mm-hmm.
because it really what it is Joe Biden is just weak.
Right. He's just weak. Oh, he's weak or he's hostage to the left.
Yeah.
Or he's, I don't know
whatever.
What, but it's never a matter of, no, the problem is that the Republican Party from top to bottom is full of traitors and bigots and imbeciles and lunatics.
And
that's
people
the real problem.
Who do nothing but formulate Fox News talking points and right. Fox News sound bites
and,
so they
and
can get reelected.
And the handful of
no
the people
policies.
In the middle, the tiny sliver of people in the middle who are wildly disproportionately represented on the news, on cable
mm-hmm.
news,
mm-hmm.
As I'm repeating myself now, I realize, cannot bring themselves to say the left was right.
Right.
Because identifying as lefty, liberal, lefty, lefty is tantamount.
Career suicide.
Well, you know, it's filthy, it's dirty, it's perverse, it's awful. I wrote this about.
And it's biased. Yeah.
Well, I wrote this about Andrew Sullivan, you know, a decade ago, which is, he went down all these things he believes in, and he kept saying, but I'm not a liberal, but blah, 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 but I'm not a liberal. I'm not one of those lefty liberals. Of course not. You're a special man. You're a special, special person. You're a unique political minotaur, never before existed in the world, because according to all of these people, but according to, you know, Andrew Sullivan back in the day, liberal wasn't a political designation. Liberal was someone who doesn't get invited onto television.
Right.
Someone who
right.
doesn't get invited to talk on Bill Maher. Someone who doesn't get invited to write for the New Yorker. Someone who lives in an impoverished ghetto of the media that they can never leave because they're liberal and liberals are stinky. And that's what it means to be a liberal. It means you are self-identifying as someone who will never, ever get the spotlight because the people who control the spotlight consider liberals to be stinky and bad and awful.
But Driftglass, this is what we were talking about the other night mm-hmm. before I crashed into a coma, which was I said to you, you know, not only is it that the career suicide part of it, but now we have the actual threat of violence yes. against us.
Yes, we do.
Uh-huh. If we speak out or have a bumper sticker, I mean, there are places where it used to be you couldn't get a job in a small town in certain parts of the country if you had a Democratic bumper sticker on your car. Yep. Now you have to worry about getting shot at in some places. There's a wonderful thread that Eric Swalwell put up today engaging with a man who had threatened his life on Twitter or on Instagram, maybe. Anyway, wherever it was, he put it on Twitter, the whole exchange, and chatted with this guy to try to find out where he is and what his last name is and out him so he can report him to the authorities, because he told Eric Swalwell that Eric Swalwell is a traitor who should be shot and hung.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we're at right now with our politics.
Right.
And I said to you, that makes us the silenced majority.
Silenced.
And you silenced said silenced. Majority. You corrected me. You said, that's no, right. It makes us the silenced majority.
That's right. Exactly right.
And so we've got to silently go to the voting booth and vote these mofos out.
Right. Well, and you know, every poll shows that Democratic ideas have enormous
70, 80% popularity. Yeah.
So we have majority support when it comes to ideas. So what
but we
is
don't
that,
necessarily have majority support when it comes to I'm going to go show up at the polls and vote.
No, but it's also a matter of representation. I hate to use that term, but it really is a matter of, in this case, representation. How mm-hmm. many actual liberals do you know that show up on Meet the Press,
mm-hmm.
show up on
mm-hmm.
Face the Nation, show up and talk as bluntly and honestly about the real problem to Chuck Todd's big dumb face as we talk on this podcast? The answer is zero. There's nobody. Well, out there saying the problem over and over again, the problem with this country is the fucking Republican Party.
Driftglass, let's not erase Nicole Hannah-Jones, who was on last Sunday on Meet the Press and did tell Chuck Todd.
Yes, she did.
That the white is silent. And
yes,
you sat
did.
There, Chuck Todd, and said parents want this and African-American parents want that.
Right. That's absolutely true.
And
that happens.
She flattened him righteously. Yeah.
Now,
and she's got the number one book in America. Yeah. You know, she's not erased.
I'm not
by us, certainly.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm saying, yeah. and think now how notable that is in your mind.
Yeah, well, it is. It
that
is.
One,
and it
remember that one time,
fire.
That one person
that one
called Chuck Todd out? Yeah, and that'll never happen again because it is not in their corporate media heart to mm-hmm. continue to permit this to happen. And I'm glad, like a well-toned, well-trained fighter, she was ready for the opening.
Right, she was.
And she was ready to jump on the opening and take advantage of the opportunity that was presented to her. But I guarantee you, Chuck Todd did not invite her on to punch him.
No,
at
he
all.
Didn't.
It caught him by surprise. And that is the tragedy of American political media, is they don't
but
want
it is
anyone.
Really, really important for us to acknowledge that there's a racial component to this whole argument. And if you think, folks, that Driftglass and I are tired of not having a quote-unquote voice.
I know.
We're two white educated people who have way more of a voice and way more privilege than a lot of people do. And it's based on color.
Absolutely.
So.
And I want to add to that,
mm-hmm.
that the way we have our voice is by inventing a podcast.
Yes.
And just sticking with it for 12 years.
12 years.
on equipment donated to us by kind users and kind
exactly.
listeners.
Exactly. Exactly.
It is not like we're getting invited anywhere. We're not certain. No. Our own, the Coastal Liberal podcast don't have anything to do with the Midwest.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a seller's market at this point. You know, we're just about the only game in town. And the reason we had those opportunities is because we do understand our privilege.
Right.
We had the time to do this, and we had the deep, deep experience of blogging for all those years and writing for all those years.
And having some tech experience. I mean, both I was a help desk person. You ran a computer department at an academic institution. And so we weren't afraid to say, well, how does this sound thing work? And let's find out and find the tools to do it.
You and I didn't have to work three jobs.
No, exactly.
And didn't have to, you know, just to keep our head above water. We recognize that the privilege we have, we recognize the limitations we have. We recognize how much this podcast is our job.
I'm laughing because we didn't have to work three jobs. We didn't have to work three jobs because we really didn't mind being poor.
No.
We weren't looking for a six-figure income.
No. But that's the thing. This is not a 1990s software company where our goal is to sell off to Microsoft.
Right. Exactly.
You know, let's get just big enough to make $1 million to sell it to Microsoft. No, this is our way of talking in our vocabulary, in our shared listeners and our vocabulary about the world around us, what's going on, why it's happening, and why you don't see this talked about in this way anywhere else.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and mm-hmm. I think there's some value in that. Mm-hmm. But it's not like, and then once we get big, we can be invited on to Meet the Press and Chuck Todd will be our friend. No, that is not the goal. That has never been the goal. When you hear me talking about that, what I'm talking about is the tragedy. And that we can't, our voices are not allowed in the mainstream conversation because what we have to say is so terrifying and so transgressive and so simple and so obvious that there's a whole universe built just to keep our voices out. That's the reason why the mainstream press exists, is to keep people like us out of the conversation, because what we have to say and how we have to say it fucks them up terribly. And it's not just us. It's all the liberal podcasters we know. It's all the liberal bloggers we know. It's all the people you work with, the Crooks and Liars. None of the folks who talk the way we talk about the things we talk about are welcome anywhere inside the Beltway. And they certainly don't want to talk about us in the Beltway adjacent places like the Bulwark, which has hot and cold running people heading over to MSNBC every hour on the hour. It might as well just be another a wing of MSNBC. That's how tightly they're wrapped together. And there has to be, there should be. This is the whole impetus behind the liberal blogosphere. Going back to 2000, there has to be another set of people talking about the same things, honestly, in the face of this tidal wave of bullshit from the mainstream press.
We're being lied into war. Yes.
There has to be somebody saying, no, wait a minute, this is bullshit.
Yeah.
And there was. And those people turned out to be right. And they never forgiven us for it.
Yeah, right.
Never.
Right.
And they're never going to forgive us for it. So that
was the era of hippie punching, Driftglass.
Oh, it was. It was. And I did want to talk about that for 1 minute, which I realize means 3 minutes. So I was listening to an exchange on a Bulwark podcast between Tim Miller, who you know as the San Francisco gay man bun dad, cool, hip, conservative uncle on MSNBC. And who's on there, you know, every 2 minutes you look up, there's Tim Miller. Hey, look, he's on here. He's a Bulwark guy and he's over there. Him and Perry Bacon Jr. were having a conversation about mostly parenthood and both being parents of young children and the balance between diversity in the classroom versus I'd like them to go to a school that has a lot of people like them versus exposed to people who are not. It was a very dad conversation. So that's great.
Good for them.
But in the middle of that conversation, Tim Miller stumbled and halted his way through a discussion of the corporate media doesn't want to have people on the air who are, you know, talk about liberal stuff, which is true. And great credit to him for saying that. And that to get credibility, you have to have the false balance. You have to invent something on the left to be mad about. And the last sentence is the one I'm going to focus on, which is, I think, Jonathan V. Last, who's one of his fellow Bulwarkers, called it hippie punching to get a little bit of credit. So he wants to credit JVL, a Bulwark podcaster, a Bulwark writer, with a the way I listened to it, the way I heard it, was inventing this very cool phrase called hippie punching. And I just thought, wow,
where's Tim Miller been for 20 years?
He's been listening to the Weekly Standard. He's been running Republican political campaigns. He's been driving around political candidates. And that's the part that really snagged my ear. It didn't make me mad, but it made me think, these people have never listened to us.
Yeah.
At all.
At all.
They are not aware or interested in the fact that we exist at all. And I did a little research because it's like, but we liberals use that phrase all the time. It wasn't coined by some Bulwark guy 2 weeks ago. I swear it wasn't. And I went back and I found,
it shows you the silo.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, the silo that he lives in. Yeah.
But here's the thing. And I know I've said this on some podcast or some tweet or a blog post I wrote. It all runs together in my head after a while. But the way the right understands the left is by listening to Rush Limbaugh.
Uh-huh.
That's all that they know about us, all that they believe about us, all of the libtard feminazi bullshit they believe.
The
liberals, those terrible liberals, and their terrible, terrible hating America attitude. Yeah.
And after that, it's Laura Ingraham, right. The left.
Right.
Yes.
But for 30 fucking years, the rubes and the mopes listen to Rush Limbaugh,
mm-hmm.
and the elite listen to Bill Kristol, and, you know, who were all they were doing at the elite level was doing the polysyllabic version of what Rush Limbaugh did for the morons.
Right.
That's all they all believe the same thing. The liberals are terrible, we're monstrous, we're evil. And they wrote books to that effect, and they had TV shows to that effect, and they had radio shows to that effect, and they really soaked it in. And they never actually listened to anything we were saying. During all the time, we were warning them that you're going down the rat hole. Your whole party is being dragged into a fascist dead end that you will never escape from, that will screw us all. They never listened to a word we were saying. So I'm sure Tim Miller genuinely believes that JVL thought up this really cool phrase just a couple of weeks ago.
Hippie punching.
And he didn't. But the reverse is also true. The way we know about Republicans, the way we know about conservatives, is we've been monitoring Rush Limbaugh for 30 years. We were monitoring all the shit they were saying and doing. So we know that's their soul. That's who they love. That's who they follow. That's who they were popular. We monitored Weekly Standard and the National Review. We know what these people think. It's not a mystery to us. It's not surprising when they do the things they do. And the thing that cracked me up was tracking this particular phrase back to when it broke into the mainstream press. I'm sure it was going on during the Bush administration. It broke into the mainstream press when a friend of yours named Susie Madrack
of Crooks and Liars.
From Crooks and Liars, back in September of 2010, confronted David Axelrod. Accuses White House of hippie punching.
Yeah.
And Susie Madrack said, "We're the girl you take under the bleachers, but you won't be seen within the light of day." Basically, you know, we want your support, but we don't want to acknowledge you exist.
Right.
Liberals. This is also the period of time and the article when Robert Gibbs recently pilloried the quote unquote professional left.
Yes.
For being overly critical of the White House.
Uh-huh.
And Susie Madrack said, this is a decade ago.
And what was so funny is the professional left were dirty hippie bloggers. That's what they were.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. Right. You want us to help you. The first thing I would suggest is enough of the hippie punching, Madrack added.
Mm-hmm.
We're the girl you take under the bleachers, but won't be seen with in the light of day. Madrack replied to Axelrod with missing the point. The criticism of the left made it tougher for bloggers like herself to motivate the base. Don't make our jobs harder, she said.
Because we're trying to get the vote out for you. Yes.
This is a sliver of a fight from a decade ago that all of us listening and all of us blogging and all of us podcasting were deeply involved with long before that ever happened.
Yeah.
It was just a moment in time. But a decade later, these guys at the Bulwark think they've discovered a brand new phrase. And isn't it clever how they coined this clever phrase called hippie punching? They didn't. But as they stumble into the universe of realizing how fucked up their party was, this is going to happen more and more and more. They are going to appropriate our vocabulary. They're going to appropriate our criticism. They're going to appropriate our perspective on their former party, which I don't have a problem with any of that. What I have a huge problem with is them also pretending that we don't exist.
Right.
Or that Joe Manchin is still the answer to all of their prayers.
Or walking into our garden and say, mine now.
Mine. It's all mine. Mine. Anyway, that's my 2 cents.
All right. I got to get to this Candace Owens Trump interview.
Please.
Which, you know, most of you have heard about Trump. And I totally agree with Charlie Pierce on this, that Trump heard Biden compliment him and his little tiny narcissistic brain flipped. And so now vaccines are good because I'm getting compliments for all the good that I've done being vaccinated, and I've had the booster, and, you know, there's two people over there booing me, but, you know, no, you know, and I'm not for mandates or anything,
but
I've been vaxxed, and people that aren't vaxxed are the ones that are going to the hospital and dying, Candace Owens, and she's sitting there going, oh.
Yeah. Trying to push a porcupine out.
Because this was not the interview she expected to have.
No.
So you've probably heard about all of that. What you may not have heard is that the Daily Wire, which is where Candace Owens works, wanted this Trump interview was going to be a real feather in Candace Owens' cap and in the Daily Wire's cap.
Sure.
So much so that they put the interview behind a paywall initially. And you had to become a $12 or $20 a month member of Daily Wire to hear this interview. It's exclusive, Drift Glass.
Wow, a Donald Trump exclusive interview. I want to hear that.
And there was such a backlash, not, you know, with no sense of irony, did conservatives come out and say, but we want it for free. Because socialism.
Yeah, and I believe my comment when he told me was, I dropped into my threatening conservative voice going, hey, brother, freedom isn't free.
Well, the comments that people got were, I love President Trump and Candace, but can't afford to pay. Wish this stuff was not subscription. It should be out there for the masses to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And then one person replied to that saying, I will not pay for information ever.
Uh-huh.
You know, if you will not pay for information ever, you're paying.
Yes. Yes, you are.
Because they've got you. And you're they're if they know they can lie to you because the information's quote unquote free, you're paying.
Yeah.
But the message is, I will not pay for information ever. Freedom of speech, remember. So freedom of speech means I get free content on the internet. That's what freedom of speech means.
As a brief aside, this is what the Illinois Policy Institute figured out a couple of years ago.
Absolutely.
Years ago, which was if local crackpot billionaires set up this white paper factory of libertarian conservative bullshit and they just crank out free content for newspapers that are the newspapers are themselves busy firing staff, firing photographers, shuttering offices. And they want to keep, you know, something happening between the sports page and the obituaries, and they want to keep their octogenarian, you know, wingnut audience happy. They will take whatever the hell the Illinois Policy Institute offers for free.
If it's spelled right and double-spaced and they can scan it into their column header creator, they're done.
Yeah.
It's one less thing.
There's a huge price to be paid for free stuff
from
the right.
Free stuff. Exactly. Yeah. And you're saying you're willing to be lied to because that's what they're going to do. And freedom of speech, remember. So if very quickly, Daily Wire had to take this interview out from under the paywall. And
wow.
I'm sorry. I just think this is
they
so
fell
funny.
To pressure from
they fell to pressure from big socialism.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
And so, yes, then Trump correctly told Owens that the vaccine works. And that's when Alex Jones comes into the story.
Alex Jones, are you kidding me?
Alex Jones is promising to reveal dirt on Trump because of over the vaccines. And you know it's a big deal, Driftglass, because Alex specifically notes that the dirt is from people who are closer to Trump than Roger Stone. This is not from Roger Stone.
said
Alex Jones.
He paid a hooker some money to keep her mouth shut. You know that? You heard that? I got the files. I got all the files.
It's so true.
My point being, any idiot can do this.
He paid
any
paid
idiot can
money
be Alex Jones.
Star. Did you know that?
Yeah. Paid a porn star.
Oh, my God.
Breaking.
So, yeah. So we'll see. We'll see. There's trouble in paradise. And as I said, the primers are going to be lit.
And if you'd like to know how all this trouble in paradise is going to end, you just subscribe to the Professional Left After Dark, which is our premium product.
We don't have that.
No, we don't have that. We don't have any of that. This is our podcast. There are many like it, but this one is ours. And it happens once a week, every week on a Friday or a Thursday, depending on, you know, your
calendar.
Can
I give you one more comment to Candace Owens about her paywall interview with Donald Trump? Mm-hmm. Someone complained that this seems like a grift.
Yeah. Wow. You can just tell when your own ass is on fire, can't you? Something smells funny around here. Smells like poop and hot dogs. Yeah. Dumbass.
Dumbass. Your ass is on fire.
Yeah. Yeah. A fire you set, by the way, and then stuck your ass right in it.
Man.
All right. You want to do a news roundup?
Yeah. Let's do a news roundup. The U.S. has broken its own daily record for COVID cases. U.S. COVID-19 cases hit their highest level of the pandemic. The U.S. reported 441,278 new COVID-19 cases Tuesday, the highest single-day total, surpassing the previous daily record by nearly 150,000. This is spreading like wildfire. I sure hope people are getting vaxxed and boosted and social distancing and washing your hands and wearing a mask.
All the stuff, all the things, you know, and we're stepping up protections around here as well. So, but you know, we're doing all the things. And, you know, if you do all the things and you get it, you know what? People get the flu.
Yeah.
This happens. It's not
a moral Reagan's judgment. If you get it, if you've actually taken every precaution you can, we understand that.
This is not Reagan's peace shield that will keep you safe at all times from everything.
But hopefully it'll keep you out of the hospital and keep you from dying.
Right, which is all I can really ask from medical science. After the Ghislaine Maxwell verdict came in, Fox News interviewed Brett Tolman, a former federal prosecutor. Tolman immediately castigated the Department of Justice for not prosecuting Hunter Biden for his laptop contents. Quick, shiny object over there. Let's look over there. That shiny thing.
Did he get into any detail about what is illegal about the contents of Hunter Biden's laptop besides drug use?
You know, legal details is not what they do on Fox. It's mostly tits, ass, and look over there.
Yeah, so, well, and all you have, it's the programming. All you have to say is Hunter Biden's laptop. And
I know
it's
what
like
that is.
Solyndra and Benghazi.
Baby parts.
And Seth Rich for a while until they threatened to sue them. And the computer company that counted votes and is suing them. Dominion. And
yes,
it's just like Dominion. I mean, there are brainwashing words that are multisyllabic, whether it's a term or a word, and they use it. And critical race theory is the latest one. And Hunter Biden's laptop. And it is just there. Hillary's emails, but her emails, it's just there so they can snap their fingers and put their audience into an immediate mental state.
Yeah.
To be fearful and hateful and on the defensive. And it doesn't matter what you say after Hunter Biden's laptop, because your audience has been programmed by those words.
They're a bunch of dimwit winter soldiers, and Fox News holds a little red book with the magic words in it. Mm-hmm. And you recite the magic words in the right order, and it's ready to comply. You know, they're just, when I call them reprogrammable meatbags, I mean literally reprogrammable. You can tell them anything you want on a Monday. Reverse yourself by Wednesday, and they will never notice that they've changed their mind 180.
You and I need to do an audio of the Winter Soldier and those words being read to him, and we need to do Solyndra, Benghazi, butter emails, Hunter Biden's laptop.
Gotcha.
And then he says, ready to comply. This is your brain on Fox News.
I will be happy to do that.
Biden conceded that his efforts to expand COVID-19 testing capacity is not enough. It's clearly not enough. Adding that the long testing lines over Christmas weekend show that we have more work to do. The Biden administration also announced plans to order 500 million at-home test kits, which officials expect the free test to be available as early as January, during a meeting between state leaders and members of his COVID-19 response team, which he actually has a COVID-19 response team, by the way.
Yeah.
Biden added, I wish I had thought about ordering a half a billion tests 2 months ago before the recent surge.
Mm-hmm.
He makes mistakes. And then he takes action to fix it.
And then he takes responsibility for his mistakes.
And he takes responsibility for it. And that's what we can expect from this president.
That's what we should expect from any president.
I take no responsibility except maybe bleach and light and disinfectant.
Yeah. biggest crowds ever, period.
Yes.
Right. Joe Biden also has confirmed more judges to the federal bench in 2021 than any first-year president since Ronald Reagan.
Yay.
Yay.
JetBlue canceled 1,280 flights through mid-January due to the expected COVID spike.
And we would like to, knock on wood, wish a happy 100th birthday to Miss Betty White, who is awesome in every way that a person can be awesome.
The National Retail Federation said early in December that holiday sales were on track to beat its already record-breaking forecast for an increase of 8.5 to 10.5% compared to the year-ago period. Holiday sales increased 8.2% in 2020 when shoppers locked down during the early part of the pandemic splurged on pajamas and home goods, mostly online. The group expects that online and other non-store sales, which are included in the total, will increase between 11 and 15%. The numbers exclude automobile dealers, gasoline stations, and restaurants. Holiday sales have averaged gains of 4.4% over the last 5 years, according to the group. This year, it was 8.2%.
Biden boom. That's all I'm saying.
Biden boom.
Biden boom. An Oklahoma bill gives parents the right to have a book removed from the school library. Under Senate Bill 1142, if just one parent objects to a book, it must be removed within 30 days. If it's not, the librarian must be fired and cannot work for any public school for 2 years. Parents can also collect at least a $10,000 per day fine from the school district if the book is not removed as requested. So, number one on my list, get the Bible out of the library.
Right. Everyone's saying we're going to go object to the Bible being in school library. And then, anything by bill, James Dobson's got to go.
That bill hasn't passed, but no. That is the sound of the wolf getting closer and closer to the door. In local news, this cracked me up. I read it in the Illinois Times last week, and it was also in the SJR. A hilarious fight has broken out between the mayor, and the Springfield Airport Authority over how much the city owes the airport in returned tax revenue. Now, these things are normally framed in very polite Midwest niceties, but not this time.
Oh, no.
This time.
Our mayor is about 3 feet tall.
And he just wants to read a little speech off a Post-it note about how much Springfield means to him.
The city of Springfield means so much to me.
You know, my dad was the mayor here. So, you know, back in the good old days. That's all he wants. And the Springfield Airport Authority. The names of the people I will omit. You can look the story up if you want, but they're like, fuck you. You owe us money. Where's my fucking money, you asshole? You call this leadership? Goddamn, we have been asking for money for 2 years now. Get off your ass. And it's like, oh man, okay.
Wow.
I recognize this. This is Chicago politics. And it's out in the open, and all these people know each other and have been around Springfield forever.
Oh, and they've been in the diner together.
Oh, yeah.
They go to the same diner for pancakes.
Second, third generation families who all know each other.
Absolutely.
All established, and they're like, oh, man. So I'm reminded of The Godfather where, you know, every few years this has to happen, you know?
Yeah.
Right. There has to be a bloodbath, and, you know, everybody just, you know, every few years you have to have one of these fights. And it's just hilarious to see it, you know, playing out in the local newspaper.
I swear to on the souls of my grandchildren that I'll get my fucking money for the airport.
Anyway, local news can be hilarious sometimes.
Oh, my
especially
gosh.
When it involves aggrieved egos and people who have no fear about saying fuck you in the local paper because
right. What
are you going to do? Take my house and my business away from me? I've been here three generations. You can't do a goddamn thing to me. Like, all right, more of that, please. I kind of like that.
Each week we post to our Facebook page and website an internet kitty sent in by you, the listeners. This week's internet kitty is Digi.
Digi.
Digi. Kurt, one of Digi's humans, tells us that Digi is pronounced with a soft G. He is a polydactyl, many toes. Oh,
many
that's
toes.
So wonderful.
Yes.
And he is the liege lord to Kurt's daughter, Hannah. Also, he would like to shake your hand with his very big hand.
And Kurt contacted me and asked me if mentioning that Hannah has just gotten engaged to her boyfriend would move the kitty closer to the top of the list. I said, man, just send money. Everything's possible. You know?
Congratulations, Hannah. That's
congratulations,
wonderful.
Congratulations, Hannah. Congratulations, Kurt. Congratulations, DG. I will shake your hand next time I see you.
Yes, and DG has many toes. That's wonderful. DG eats freshly poured cat food, our fake sponsor, Drift Glass. I don't know if you know this, but the Freshly Poured family of brands is branching out, and they now have Freshly Poured cat litter.
This is exciting news. This is very exciting. I think Freshly Scooped and Freshly Poured would be I'm right there.
They're all for it. They're all for it. Because if your cat will sit by the litter box and go, I'm not using this thing.
Not what are you, nuts?
I want freshly scooped and freshly poured cat litter.
Mm-hmm.
But when we talk about freshly poured cat food, our fake sponsor, of course, DG Eats That. And whether you serve Pet Store Perfection or Dollar Store Direct, your cats will sit on the kitchen floor and demand that the food they eat is only freshly poured. Freshly poured, freshly poured. Oh, my Lord, it's freshly poured. You can visit DG, and DG is reaching out a hand to you with many toes. Please shake my hand at our Facebook page or website, and you can send your internet kitty, dog, or other pet to us at our email address, proleftpodcast@gmail.com, where you can also write to both of us. Feel free to write us. We love hearing from you. Be aware that if you write us at any of our addresses, we reserve the right to read your email or U.S. Postal Service. Go Postal Unions! Letter on the air unless you say otherwise. Hashtag jail to joy, or just get him out of there.
Yeah, already. Gotta
already.
Go. Already. Now,
that's a good New Year's resolution for Joe Biden. Fired to joy.
We all know why this is taking so long. Because he can only be fired by the board, and the board has to be, is full of Republicans who can only be replaced under certain conditions. And Biden is replacing him as fast as he can. And once he does that, DeJoy is gone. Mm-hmm. He's doing a lot of harm while he's in there. He's, of course, committed all kinds of violations of ethics and invested in things that, benefit.
He's a huge conflict of interest. Yes. Yeah,
he's a walking conflict of interest, and he's still there, and we should get rid of him as expeditiously as possible.
Don't forget our gourmet coffee guideline. If you can afford to buy an espresso-based beverage for yourself, buy one for us. This is not charity. This is our job, and we love our job. Approximately 1% of our listeners support this podcast with a contribution, and you can too. See our website, proleftpod.com, for details. Our PayPal postal address information is there at proleftpod.com. Thank you to everyone who's donated or written in or done anything for us this year. Thank you, Tammy, for creating our website and keeping our Patreon going. And she's been our angel nerd. We're grateful to her. Thank you for listening and being there for us in 2021. We're looking forward to the coming year with the midterms and getting it done again.
And thank you even to our critics, whom we do read your emails. That's all I'll say.
Well, I think people can save themselves a lot of work of sending a very similar email with a similar argument under a different email address.
Well, sure.
And pretending that we got two emails on the same topic when we really we're both editors and writers, and we can tell.
Huh. Yeah,
we can tell that you're the same person.
I print them off. I hold them up to the light. It's like, there's an awful lot of overlap between these two subjects. Awful lot. I can see where you tried to scuff up the serial number a little bit, but no.
No.
But your sentiment has been received.
Nice try.
Nice try. Keep trying, bub. Maybe you'll get there somewhere.
Please share our show on social media, and thank you for doing that. And if you love this podcast, please get someone else to listen to. Hey, Driftglass, how are the internet kitties doing this week?
Well, Blue Gal, the internet kitties are thrilled that the new Matrix movie focused a lot more attention on the cat.
And Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Let's think about living. Let's think about loving. Let's think about the hooping and the hopping and the bopping and the loving, lovey-dovey. Let's forget about the whine and the crying, the shooting and the dying, and the fellow with a switchblade knife. Let's think about living. Let's think about life.
Professional Left Podcast is recorded under a Creative Commons license. Copyright 2021 DGBG Productions.